Amen. You may be seated. If you will, take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 12. I want to read one verse to you, and then we're going to move over to Hebrews. I'll explain that later. But the title of the message today is called Steps of Faith. So how much faith do you have? That's a question. Did you know that faith is not given to us all at one time? I mean, we begin by faith, right? It's a gift of God, but we don't have all the faith we need the day we become a Christian. Faith grows, faith increases. And today, as we look at the life of Abram or Abraham, we are going to see how his faith had to grow. He didn't begin where he ended. We should not begin and stay in that spot. We should keep going. We should keep growing in our faith. So if we're going to live for God, then he's not going to let us stay where we are in a neutral position. He's going to call us to grow in our faith. And so in Genesis chapter 12, there's a particular verse, verse 4, and I want you to just look at that verse and just notice this one statement. It said, "So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." Now, that's amazing. We talked in detail last week about Abram leaving and going. But really, that's just the beginning of his journey of faith. He's got a lot more steps that he needs to take, and God is going to have to bring him along to get to that point. So we're going to do a little biblical theology this morning. Now, biblical theology simply means that we believe the Bible tells one story and it all goes together. And so we're going to start in Genesis 12, 4. But now I want you to take your Bible and I want you to move to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament. This is where we're going to stay for the rest of the sermon. But there are five verses that talk about Abraham. And in Hebrews 11, these five verses really show us his entire life story of faith. It begins in Hebrews 11, 8 with Genesis 12, where Abram steps out and takes his leap of faith and takes the journey and begins walking with God. And it ends later in verse 17 with Abram doing the unthinkable, sacrificing his son Isaac, at least being willing to do so on the altar. And what you have in Hebrews is this incredible summary of a man who was called by God to leave his home and ultimately is grown by God to be so much more. And every one of us can learn from Abram's faith, because we too are going to have faith that is going to be tested. We're going to have faith that's going to grow, and God is going to try to increase our faith. So today we're going to talk about Abram's steps of faith that God brought him through. And as we look at his steps of faith, I want you to look at your life and see where you are, how much faith you have, where you are on this journey. Because if you just survey the New Testament, it's really clear. Faith should be increasing. I mean, again, you don't get all your faith at once. You get all your salvation at once, but you don't get all your faith at once. So for example, if you were to just look in the New Testament, Luke 17, 1 through 5, remember when Jesus was rebuking his disciples and they said this comment, "Lord, increase our," what? Faith, right? And then, you know, you just go a little bit further and you go to 2 Peter 1, 5, and Peter says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith." In other words, add to what you already have. Grow. Supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. So what Peter is saying is that the more you're in the Word, your faith is growing. James said it. James chapter 1, 2 and 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith, and that word testing means trying, proving, showing what's really there. The test is not for God, it's for God to reveal to us how weak our faith is, how much our faith needs to grow, how much we need to say, Lord, increase our faith. And so today, when we look at Abram, what you're going to get to see in Hebrews is this whole journey and how his faith just steadily, by God's grace, increased. You'll see the steps of faith. And we ought to be increasing in our faith as well. Four steps we're going to look at today. Step number one, I want you to see how there is the call to faith. The call to faith. That's Genesis 12, when God calls Abram to leave his family and his kindred. There's a call. This is the first step. It's the easiest step. It's not the last step. Secondly, we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to see the step two, living by faith. Hebrews points this out really well, that Abram not only has to leave his homeland, but he has to be a foreigner and live among foreigners, waiting for God to ultimately fulfill the promise. Step number two is living by faith. Step three, we're going to see impossible faith. Sarah and Abram are told that they are going to have a child, and it is logically and scientifically impossible. And yet they're going to learn impossible faith. And finally, step four, there's dependent faith. God is going to lead Abram to a point in his life where he will come to this place where he is willing to take his son, his promise, his heir, and sacrifice him if that's what God wants. It's incredible. But look, Abram doesn't begin there. Abram has to journey there. He has to grow. He has to learn. It's just like a child. You know, when our kids were little and we started them out on bikes, right? But the bikes they began with are not what they're riding today. We started them out on little tricycles that were low to the ground so that if they fell, they would not get hurt. And they just slowly began learning on those devices. And then they graduated a little bit to training wheels. And then we took the training wheels off, and now they're riding hoverboards. And, you know, they didn't begin on hoverboards. We didn't start the little ones off on a hoverboard and say, all right, this is where you're going to start. They had to learn to trust. They had to learn to maneuver. They had to learn to grow. They had to get comfortable with it. Well, that's the way God does with our faith. I mean, he doesn't just put you on the hoverboard at first. He starts you out small and then just slowly increases things so that you grow in faith and you grow in trust and you actually start living to where you believe what he says. We don't just start out fully in faith. And we see that in Abram. We see it right here in Hebrews 11. We see these steps. So let's look at the steps. Let's unpack all four of them together. Number one, there's the first step that we see in the life of Abraham. It's the call to faith. Now look at Hebrews 11, verse 8. Notice it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Now, this is the story we've been studying in Genesis 12, right here. It's summarized in verse 8 of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is called the Great Hall of Faith because it takes all these Old Testament saints who had to live by faith, and it just gives you a glimpse of how they lived by faith. Now, of all the saints that are mentioned in this chapter, this great hall of God's faith, Abraham, is given the most verses. I mean, Noah's mentioned, that's great. Abel is mentioned, that's wonderful. Other people are mentioned briefly, but if you look at this chapter, Abraham is given multiple verses, and he is kind of the only one where you just get to see all the steps playing out of how he made his way stepping up in faith. Step one, though, was the call. Genesis 12. And God comes to Abram, you remember this from last week, and says, leave your father, leave your kindred, leave your land, leave everything that's familiar to you and go. And the amazing thing is Abram obeyed. When God called him, he left and he went. And it was uncomfortable and it was difficult. He didn't really know where he was going. God didn't reveal to Abraham at that point everything that he was going to have to live through. You know, God didn't come to him and say, now look, I want you to leave your father's home and your land, and when I do give you a child, you're going to have to sacrifice that child on Mount Moriah. God didn't do that. God didn't tell him all that. God just said, obey me, take this first step of faith, and just obey. Now, we've all been right where Abraham was here in Hebrews 11:8. We've all had that first step of faith. I mean, when God came to you and you were in your paganism and your sinfulness and your lostness, just like God came to Abram and called him out, God came to you and called you out, and he came to me and called me out, and we took that first step of faith, did we not? I mean, it was a call to come out. And some of us, when we got saved, when we were born again, when we had faith in Christ, and we were called just like Abram, we had to leave things, did we not? I mean, maybe we had to leave friendships that were just not going to be productive for our journey with God, and we had to say goodbye to certain people. Maybe we had to leave a lifestyle that we would have preferred, but we knew it didn't align with the Word of God, and so we stepped out and we left the lifestyle, or we left the people, or we left the place. I mean, some of you in this room, you identify with that strongly. You've been there. You remember when you got saved. You remember how it was a call for you to leave a lot of things, and you did it joyfully for the sake of the gospel. Now, for others of us, maybe it wasn't that dramatic. Maybe we didn't have to leave a lot, but I'll tell you this, you were called out. And when God saves you, I mean, he calls you to come, and by faith, you respond. That is the first baby step of faith. It happened to Abram here in Genesis 12 and Hebrews 11:8. It happened to us, every one of us. God calls, and we've all been there. And sometimes that first step of faith might even be a little deeper. It might not just be for salvation. It might be a call to missions, or it might be a call to obedience, or a call to ministry. But here's the point I want you to get. This is the first step of faith. It's not the last step. So you keep reading in Hebrews 11, you see how it just increases. This is the first step of Abram, not the last step of Abram. He's going to ask a lot more of Abram in his life. And let me say to you, God's going to ask a lot more of you. And he's going to ask a lot more of me. He's going to ask us to pray, to be open, to be willing to have our faith increased, to add to our faith those things that are lacking so that we will be made mature and complete. So don't think that just because you've been called out by God, well, you did it. You had faith. Now, that's the starting point. That's step one. You still got a journey to go. And as long as you're alive, God's going to continue to call you more and more to step out deeper and deeper along the path of faith. So this is just acclimating Abraham, getting him ready. Let me take you out from what you're used to. Come with me. I'm not giving you all the details. Follow me. Be obedient to me now, where you are now. That's what God asked of him. It's what God asked of us. But let's go to step number two. There will come a time when God will move us beyond this initial call of faith. He will add more to that call, just like he did in Abram's life. He won't just come and say, leave everything and follow me. He'll start to fill in the gaps and make it more real. The second step of faith is living by faith. You see, we all have been called if we're saved. God called us. Maybe we've been called to certain ministries. That's great. But then there comes this point where we have to live. We have to live out the promises of God. We can't just say, okay, I'm going to go and take a step and I'm done. We have to live in what we step in, okay? Now, look at Abram, look at Hebrews 11, look at 9 and 10. Again, this chapter is summarizing Abraham's life. Notice what it tells us next. By faith. Verse 9, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, this tells us a lot. And when you take these two verses in Hebrews 11, verse 9 and 10, and you go back to Genesis 12, 13, and 14, all of this is just making complete sense. It's giving you a complete picture. Think about God calls Abram in Genesis 12, go. Abram goes. God says, I want you to go to the land of Canaan. You know that there's an interesting verse, Genesis 12, 6, that says, at this time, at the time when Abram left his land and his father and his people, at this time, the Canaanites were in the land. Now, think about this. God comes to Abram and says, come out. I'm going to take you to this land of Canaan that I'm going to show you. Abraham leaves, and when Abraham gets to the place where God wants him to be, there's people living there. It's not an open valley where you can just go and start building a city and a nation. It's got inhabitants. Can you imagine how Abraham must have felt when he got to this place that God was taking him, and there's a nation of people there? God, how are you going to make me a nation when there's already people dwelling here? What am I supposed to do about that? Abram is learning that God is going to make him live by faith. So Abram is shown the land, but he's not given the land at this time. He's told that eventually, one day, God will remove these inhabitants, but they're there. And you get that same picture in verse 9. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. See that word foreign land in verse 9? He was a foreigner. There was already a nation that was there. Notice what else? Living in tents. Now, to live in a tent means that you forego that which is permanent. People had permanent dwellings. Everybody didn't live in tents at this time period. What it's telling you is the reason Abraham lived in tents is because he was a foreigner. He didn't yet have what God had promised. He was waiting. And so while he's in this foreign country waiting for God to act, while he's living it out, he's got to sit there in a tent and be a nomad, a refugee, waiting on God to act. And it doesn't just end there. I mean, things just begin to happen. You go to the other part of Genesis 12, a famine comes. So here he's living in a tent. He's in a land that's already possessed by people. And the scripture tells us in Genesis 12, a famine hits, and Abraham goes to Egypt to try to get food. He didn't have to do that. He should have depended on God, but he went to Egypt because now there's a famine. And then in Genesis 13, we're told that Abram's nephew Lot, that he brought with him on this journey, begins to have a scuff with Abraham. They begin to argue and fuss and fight. And so they have to split up. One goes one way, one goes the other. And that's not the end of it. Genesis 14, we're told that there are four kings that are living in this area where Abraham and Lot settle, back in the land God promised them. And two of the kings are the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. And these kings end up going to war with one another. And in the war, they end up capturing Abraham's nephew Lot. And Abraham has to go rescue him. Now look, what's the point of all this? Abraham's obeyed God. He took step one. When he takes step one, God brings him to step two. He comes to the land. There's people living there. There's a famine. There's a war. There's a nephew that's giving him a headache. Haven't we all been there? Look, you follow God, and sometimes when you follow God, you get to where God's taking you, and it's not all rosy. it's not all easy. We've messed this up in the Christian church today. We've told people, if it's God's will, everything's going to work out just fine. And that's not what you see with Abraham here. Look, God allowed difficulty to come to Abraham, starting with the Canaanites living there, continuing with the famine, continuing with his nephew, continuing with the four kings who went to war. God allowed all this not to come against Abraham, but to strengthen Abraham's faith. Again, we have this thought, well, if it's God's will, everything's just going to be rosy for me, and the path is going to be smooth as asphalt, and there'll never be any bumps, and I'll just walk along and it'll be perfect. Listen, that's not how your faith grows, ever. Faith doesn't grow in that environment. Faith grows in difficulty. And so there's times when God's going to call you out to do something, and everything's not just going to gel in your circumstances. We have to be extremely careful that we don't read our circumstances into the will of God. Sometimes what we have to do is we have to obey the word regardless of our circumstances. And we have to step out and live the second step of faith, living in faith, regardless of what our life around us is like. It's scary, it's hard, but we have to do that. God calls us to do that. This is how God takes us to the next step. It's how He increases our faith. Just this week at camp, I was talking with our brother, Aaron Wilson. You know, about 8 years ago, he moved his family here. And if you were here, you remember the crazy day that we moved him in. I mean, we felt it was God's will that he come here, and we found a house for Aaron to rent in the neighborhood where myself and the other pastors now live. And I remember it was great. We found him a rent house so that he could come down here and get his family situated, get him in school, and then they could try to find their permanent home. And so a bunch of church members, we went over there on Sandalwood Drive, and we were cleaning the house up for them for their arrival. And right when we're cleaning, somebody knocks at the door, and it's a real estate agent, and she's got a couple with her. And she says, I've got a couple here that wants to see this house, and they're probably going to buy this house. I said, well, we've got our family pastor in his U-Haul right now driving on the interstate to unload here. She said, well, I think they're going to probably buy. So she tours the house, and we get the phone call. Aaron gets the phone call, and sure enough, you got 30 days to get out of your rent house. And so what Aaron and his family had to do is they had to live in a camper for 3 months. Now look, I love Jesus, but if that had been me, I would have said, sayonara, this ain't God's will, right? But thankfully our brother had more stamina, and God gave him the grace that he needed because it was God's will. But you know, we could have looked at that in immaturity, and we could have said, oh no, it's obviously not God's will because the house fell through. And, you know, you had to live in a camper for 3 months, and that's just horrible. So this week at children's camp, Aaron and I were just talking, and I brought up his move because I'm thinking in that direction. And I said, hey, brother, you know, looking back, was it hard? And he just was honest, and he said, yeah, there were days when it was hard. I said, well, did you ever regret it? And he said, you know, I don't know that really it's God's will that it always be easy. You know, we came and we felt like it was God's will, and did we always enjoy it? No. But do we think that God was in it? Yes. Do we think God grew us? Yes. I mean, isn't this what's happening right here? Hebrews 11, right here. Verses 8 and 9, I mean, Abram had to go and live in a tent. That was his mobile home, right? Or whatever, his camper. He had to dwell in a foreign land. He had to do all these things. He had to endure these circumstances. But it was God's will. What God was doing was bringing Abraham to increasing faith, developing a depth to him. Count it all joy, when you face these various trials. It's the proving of what's there. It's the showing of what you're made of. It shows you where you are and where God needs to bring you. Well, God's going to graduate you from the call, and he's going to ask you at times to live by faith, and that might be tough on all of us. None of us want that, but maybe that's what God calls us to do. But it's his steps of faith. It's the journey that we're on, and we ought to say, just like the apostles, Lord, help my unbelief, right? Help my unbelief. Increase our faith. Well, let's go to step number three. Impossible faith. So you have the call of faith, you have living by faith, you have impossible faith. And what I mean by impossible is it's logically, scientifically impossible, but it's not impossible for God. So the next two verses that we look at, verses 11 and 12 in Hebrews chapter 11, are verses that remind us, again, of what's coming in Genesis that's logically, scientifically, absolutely impossible for man, but not impossible for God. Look at Hebrews 11, 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. I mean, think about this. When God came to Abraham and Sarah and told them they would have a child, and this child would be the child of promise, and this child would be the father of many nations, ultimately the Jewish nation, and then the blessing would come through them and through the Messiah. When God came to them, do you realize the first time God came to Abraham and Sarah and told them this? Abraham was 75 years of age. It was already an impossibility then. But Abraham believed. God came to him, Genesis 12, 75 years old, leave your home, leave your family, I'll make you a blessing, the whole world will be blessed through you, just obey. 75. 10 years later, according to Genesis 15, verse 5, Abraham is now 85 years old. He comes back to God and says, listen, I know you promised me a child, but 10 years have passed. I'm 10 years older. This is not getting any easier. So, when are you going to give me this child? And God says again, God promises again, I'm going to give you this child. A year later, Abraham's 86. It's Genesis chapter 16, verse 16. And Abraham is tired of waiting, 11 years waiting. And so he and his handmaiden Hagar come together, take matters into their own hand, and they conceive Ishmael, who Abraham thinks, well, this is the way God's going to work. This is how God's going to show himself. But that was not the way God was going to work. And so finally, in Genesis 17, Abraham is now 99 years old. Almost 25 years have passed since God first called him in Genesis 12, and told him to leave his home, and told him he would make him a great nation, and all the nations of the world would be blessed through him. 25 years have passed. He is 99 years old. And God comes to him again and says, I'm still going to give you a child. Now, can you imagine waiting 25 years? God promised, God said, God led you, and yet I'm getting older, the years are getting dimmer, and when is God going to do anything? 25 years. God came to him at 99 and said, a year from now, you'll have a child at 100 years of age. And your wife as well. It was impossible. Scientifically, logically, and in every way, impossible. And yet, by faith, God was increasing their faith, making them wait to show that he was God. They were taking their next step of faith. They were learning. They were growing. And look, God is going to do this for us as well. The one thing we do not like is patience. We like microwaves and fast food, and we want God to work immediately, and there may be times in our life where God says, I will work, I will fulfill what I have said, but you must wait for my timing and my glory and my good as I see it. You have to have impossible faith, and it's a stretch for us. I think back to my years in high school. There was a young woman in our church growing up. She was about 4'9", blonde hair, a beam of joy. Her name was Wendy Maxey. And she could sing the stars down. I mean, she really could. She had that high falsetto, you know, the opera voice. And she could sing. And I mean, she was just phenomenal in the choir when she would sing a special. And it kind of became at our church, I'm just going to confess, over the years, and it was years, it kind of became a joke, sadly, among the teenagers. We were wrong for this. But Wendy always would ask at every prayer meeting, at every Thanksgiving fellowship that we had as a church where we would go around, at every small group, she would always say, pray for my husband, David, who needs to be saved. I mean, years she said this. And you could just imagine, you know, here we are, a bunch of ignorant teenagers, and it got to the point where we would say, hey, what's going to happen tonight at prayer meeting? Well, you know, Wendy is going to ask for prayer for David. And everybody just kind of expected it. Well, you know, she's going to get up, and you know, she's going to make that speech that she makes every year. And I'm sad to say, I mean, we just had absolutely no faith that God would ever do anything in her husband's life. And she just constantly, continually brought it before the church, didn't care, asked for prayer over and over again. And I'm here to tell you that one day in the early 90s, her husband came to church. I mean, he was an unbeliever. He was a pagan. He had never darkened the door of the church until this time. And one day, he came and he got gloriously born again by the power of God. He got saved. And when he repented of his sin, Wendy got up in front of the church. I'll never forget this. There was not a dry eye in the house. And she just spontaneously, on her own, a cappella, grabbed the microphone and sang Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. And it was amazing. God answered a prayer for over a decade, if not longer, in this woman's life. She was just persistent to pray. And you know what? When I took my first church as pastor at Harvest Baptist Church, 50 Getwell Road, Hernando, Mississippi, David and Wendy were the worship leaders at the church where I pastored. And so when I would see David get up on the stage and lead our little congregation of 25 people in praise music and in hymns, I couldn't help but think all the years his wife prayed for him, and here I'm receiving the blessing of her faith. And I want you to understand that this can be the way God works, and it's not God's failure. Sometimes God calls us to impossible faith, and he says, wait 20 years, 25 years, pray to me, call to me, learn, grow, stretch in your faith, and I'll answer you. It's a step. So you can't just stay where you are. God doesn't call you to just sit on the pew and listen to cute sermons for the rest of your life. He calls us out to live by faith. This is what honors him. It's what glorifies him. It's impossible to please him without faith. Let's go to the last step. Dependent faith. It's what I call dependent faith. And you see this dependent faith in the last mention of Abraham in Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. Verses 17 to 19. Just notice that God brings this man on a journey, And every time God leads him along, he's increasing his faith. This last step, to me, is the most incredible. Now again, God did not start out with this last step in Genesis 12. He didn't tell Abraham everything that Abraham was going to be required to one day do. But he leads him to this place, the hardest place. The place where Abraham has to take his son, the son of promise, Isaac, to Mount Moriah and be willing to offer Isaac as a sacrifice to God. Now, look, under normal circumstances, Abraham would have been arrested for this today. We would have thought that he was crazy. We would have thought that he was mental. And without faith, he would be crazy and he would be mental. Look at what verse 17 says, Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. I mean, do you get what that's saying there in 17 and 18 and 19? It's saying that Abraham at this point in his life was so convinced of God's promises, so trusting in God's promises, that he was willing to take his son up on the mountain and offer him and believe, well, you know, if God lets me sacrifice him, God can raise him from the dead. I mean, I've never seen that, but God can raise him from the dead. And I don't know how God's going to do it, but I so trust and I so believe in God, God can do the absolute impossible, and I'm going to depend upon God to see me through this. And so God just led him to this point, probably the heaviest point of his life, the greatest step of faith. And can you imagine when his son Isaac looks at him and says, Dad, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And what does he say? He says, you know, essentially, don't worry about it. God will provide it. Can you imagine what was going through that father's heart? I mean, this is crazy. All intents and purposes, this is bizarre. And yet he's so been led by God to have this incredible depending faith that he trusts God is going to somehow come through. And of course God does, doesn't he? God doesn't make him sacrifice his son. God sends a ram in the thicket and by grace provides a scapegoat so that Abraham doesn't have to sacrifice his own son. And it's exactly what God did for all of us in the very hour of our weakness. Christ died for us. He sent the ultimate scapegoat, the ultimate lamb who was our sacrifice, our replacement, our redeemer, our savior. And Abraham knows this is how God is working. I've been led all my life to this point. Well, he didn't have that at first. This is what I want you to see. He did not have this kind of faith at first. He had to grow into it. And so will we will have to grow into incredible steps of faith. And your journey will not be Abraham's journey. I'm not saying that. I don't think God's going to call any of you to ever sacrifice your children. Some of you were excited at that statement and others of you were not. God's never going to call you, I don't think, to do that. But God will call you to make sacrifices. He will call you to step out into the unknown and the uncomfortable and the hard and the difficult, because we are all on a journey. And can I just say, personally, in closing, God is calling this church to employ faith. I mean, you know, we get really comfortable as Christians. And we like to tease ourselves that this is really what it's all about. Build our own heaven on earth, be comfortable in our heaven, stay here as long as we possibly can and enjoy things. I'm a consumer, so let me come and sit and just enjoy the show. And friends, that's never what God calls any of his churches to be or do. Number one, you will never have heaven this side of eternity. Number two, you are a pilgrim here on a journey, just like Hebrews 11 says, you're looking for the greater country. We'll never have heaven this side of earth. We don't need to try to create it with governments or neighborhoods or even churches. There's sweet moments of grace that God gives us. There's sweet seasons of blessing, but we're on a journey. We're pilgrims. We're walking through. And God's calling you to go further on that journey. And for this church, maybe it's time we're going to have to start living in faith. Step two. Maybe we're going to have to start thinking step three. Maybe God's forcing us to the next step, and that's okay. I know He's certainly forcing me to the next step, and He's forcing my kids to the next step, and He's forcing my wife to the next step. And it doesn't mean that He doesn't love us. It means that He just wants the journey to end well, and He wants your journey to end well, right? And so He's calling you to keep stepping and moving and going. Amen? That's the call on all of our lives. And so God is going to call us to do that. I just hope you respond well to it. And I hope you go. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for faith that is a gift given in the Word to us and continues to be given by You in every step that You lead us to. So continue to lead us, Lord, and guide us and direct us and bless. Continue to increase our faith and give us greater perseverance, greater love, greater depth, greater service, greater dependence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.